You're listening to the Vegans Explore Network, found at vegansexplore.com. Let me start with this. Did you know that animal cruelty is now a federal felony in the United States, punishable up to 7 years in prison? 7 years. That means crushing, burning, drowning, suffocating, impaling, or sexually exploiting animals in what the law calls animal crushing is now a federal crime, not just a state issue, federal, FBI level serious. On the surface, that sounds like a huge win. And in many ways, it is. For decades, animal protection advocates have pushed for stronger enforcement. The original federal law from 2010 banned the creation and distribution of so-called animal crushing videos. But this newer legislation expanded it. It criminalizes the underlying acts themselves, not just the recording and selling of them. That matters, because it sends a cultural signal. We, as a society, are saying certain acts of cruelty are so egregious that they cross state lines in moral outrage. But here's where things get complicated. The law specifically targets intentional acts of extreme cruelty. It does not apply to hunting, fishing, pest control, medical research, or what it calls customary and normal agricultural practices. Let's pause there. Customary and normal agricultural practices. In other words, slaughterhouses. So here's the tension. If someone abuses a dog or a cat in their backyard and the act meets the federal criteria, they could face up to 7 years in prison. But what happens to animals in industrial slaughterhouses? Chickens, pigs, cows, animals who experience confinement, transport stress, and slaughter as part of food production? How do we draw that line? And who gets to decide where cruelty ends and customary practice begins? Now, before anyone gets defensive, let's slow down. This is not about attacking people. This is about asking real questions. Because from a legal standpoint, the distinction is clear. The law exempts agricultural industries. From a moral standpoint, though, that's where the debate lives. Some would argue this federal law is a stepping stone. You don't change an entire system overnight. You start with the most universally condemned acts, the things almost everyone agrees are horrific. Others would say the law exposes a contradiction. We punish certain cruelty severely, while systematized harm continues under legal protection. And that tension is not new. Throughout history, laws often reflect incremental moral evolution. What is normal in one era becomes unacceptable in another. So, should we celebrate this? Yes and no. Yes, because reducing extreme acts of violence against animals is a good thing. There is no downside to discouraging torture, full stop. And also, no. Because if we care about animals as sentient beings, the conversation cannot stop here. Now let's talk about enforcement. Will this actually be enforced? That depends. Federal prosecutors have limited resources. Cases usually need to involve interstate commerce, distribution, or significant federal interest. So while the law exists, it doesn't mean every abusive incident suddenly becomes a federal case. State laws still carry most of the weight for everyday animal cruelty enforcement. So practically speaking, this is a powerful symbolic and legal tool. It is not a magical cure-all. But symbolism matters. When something becomes a federal felony, it changes the cultural temperature. It signals seriousness. It gives advocates leverage. It can deter behavior, especially when combined with public awareness. We've compartmentalized. We love dogs. We name cows after cartoon characters. We cry during animated animal movies. And then we order lunch. Human beings are very good at holding contradictions. It's almost a superpower. But this law forces us to at least acknowledge one truth. Animals matter enough for federal protection in certain contexts. That's not nothing. So maybe the right approach is this: celebrate the progress, ask better questions, keep the conversation going, not in a judgmental way, not in a self-righteous way, but in a thoughtful way. Because movements evolve through dialogue, not just declarations. And here's the real flair. What if the moment becomes a cultural checkpoint? What if 10 years from now, we look back and say this was one of the first federal signals that animal welfare was moving from fringe concern to mainstream policy? Or what if nothing changes and it quietly becomes a law most people never think about again? That depends on us, how much we talk about it, or whether we connect dots between cruelty, food systems, ethics, law, and personal choice. So I want to hear from you. Is this a major win that deserves applause? Is it a symbolic gesture that leaves bigger issues untouched? Do you think it will be meaningfully enforced? And how do you personally draw the line between criminal cruelty and legal agriculture? Let's have the conversation, because real change does not happen in silence. It happens when people are willing to wrestle with the uncomfortable questions and maybe even laugh a little at how complex we all are. If this episode made you think, share it. Send it to someone who loves animals or someone who loves steak, or both. Let's talk. I'm Sean A. Russell, founder of Vegans Explore. Our goal is to build the world's largest vegan community so that all of your stories are told. Be sure to visit vegansexplore.com to see what we're all about. We're all about community connection, so reach out to us and let us know how you feel you can support. And as always, this is a daily podcast, so I'll see you tomorrow.